From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Just a warning, this next story talks about suicide and sexual assault, and it may be disturbing for some listeners. 21-year-old Kaylee Harris died by suicide at Anchorage's Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson earlier this year after she reported being sexually assaulted on the base. Now her mother is telling the story of Harris's death because she wants it to lead to change in how the military handles sexual assault investigations, suicide, and harassment of LGBTQ troops. Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports.
Kaylee Harris staring at her plane ticket to Alaska last February. The memory is still so vivid for her mom, Carrie Harris Stickford.
And I said, "What are you looking at?" And she goes, "My dream." Sorry, I don't mean to cry. Oh, my dream. I'm getting to fulfill my dream. Not only am I a military police officer, but I'm going to the one place I wanted to be.
Kaylee Harris was born in Ohio. She went through training in Missouri to become a military police officer. And after that, she got stationed at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage, her top pick. But then, just over a year later, on May 3rd at 6:40 in the morning, her mom heard her doorbell ring in Ohio.
And I opened it, and it was two chaplains from the Army. And the first thing I said to them was, "My daughter's dead. She killed herself. Why didn't you call me back?"
Stickford is sharing her daughter's story to highlight what she sees as lapses in the military's response.
"I can't bring Kaylee back, but I can make sure that what happened to Kaylee doesn't happen to somebody else. That's my goal."
USA Today was among the first publications to report on Harris's death, describing it as, quote, "a confluence of currents that have ripped the military for decades. Sexual assault, suicide, and integrating LGBTQ troops," unquote. The issues are pervasive, particularly in Alaska, a state with a high rate of sexual assaults and also a high rate of suicides, including among the soldiers stationed here. Stickford says she knew something was wrong with her daughter earlier this year. She just couldn't figure out what it was. Harris had suddenly become distant, says Stickford. Not calling, not responding to messages, forgetting family birthdays.
She was supposed to get ready for her sister's wedding. She wouldn't respond to getting a dress, things like that. She had more of an angry tone to her, like, "You just need to leave me alone."
At the end of March, Stickford started making calls to a military suicide hotline, to Jay Bear's family center, to her daughter's commanding officer. She got little response.
"How many alarms can I yell through from Ohio to Alaska?"
What Stickford learned after Harris's death through the military, her daughter's friends, and what her daughter left behind stunned her. Stickford says her daughter had reported that she was sexually assaulted by another military member, an airman on Jay Bear, in late January, 10 days after she came out as a lesbian on Facebook.
"What I've gathered from other of her peer troops is that this airman would give her a hard time, saying, 'Oh, you know, Harris, you're a lesbian because you've never been with a real man.'"
The military is handling the investigation of the sexual assault internally. In a written statement, J-Bear spokesman Major Michael Herzog II says the alleged sexual assault is still under investigation and no charges have been filed. He says J-Bear is mourning the loss of Harris and, quote, "We are fully committed to the investigative process and we will not rest until that process is complete," unquote. According to military officials, the airman accused of assaulting Harris remains on base. Stickford is angry. As she pieced together her daughter's final weeks, she says she found a string of red flags that the military should have acted on. She says she learned that the military put Harris in mental health treatment and under a do not arm order in late March after she told a friend she had thoughts of suicide. And then, at the end of April, Stickford says, as the military continued to investigate the assault, Harris encountered the airman, her alleged attacker, again during a training. They were both assigned to the same building.
"I was told that she was in extreme distress and had to be physically removed from the building."
Still, Stickford says her daughter was clear to go back to her military police job at the end of that week and to have a gun again. She bought one on base 2 days later and took her life.
"Something happened in that hallway that made her decide that I can no longer live in this world after trying so hard. And that's what was so heartbreaking to me."
Harris named her alleged attacker in a suicide note. Herzog, the J-Bear spokesman, says after the sexual assault report, commanders placed the accused in another duty location and issued a military protective order. The military is investigating if any contact occurred during that protective order, he says. Stickford says she believes her daughter would still be alive if the military took her sexual assault report more seriously and responded differently to her declining mental health. She hopes her daughter's death will bring change.
I want to protect. That's the mother instinct in me. I am a mama bear, you know? And now I don't have her to protect anymore, but I'm going to do everything I can to protect anybody I can.
Stickford also wants changes to military law. She wants it to include hate crimes to protect LGBTQ troops. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
Governor Mike Dunleavy yesterday asked for a new slate of nominees for a vacant seat on the Alaska Supreme Court to replace Chief Justice Joel Bolger, who is retiring. A similar rejection of judicial nominees in 2019 became one of the grounds for the recall campaign against Dunleavy. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The state constitution requires that Dunleavy appoint someone the Alaska Judicial Council has nominated. In addition, under state law, Dunleavy has until July 11th to choose one of the nominees. The Judicial Council nominated Anchorage Superior Court judges Danny Crosby, Jennifer Stewart Henderson, and Yvonne Lamore on May 25th. The law requires that Dunleavy fill the vacancy within 45 days of receiving the nominations. Dunleavy described his position in a news conference on Thursday.
We are hoping that we can get sent to our office all of the individuals that are vetted by the Judicial Council so that we have a larger pool to choose from because Alaska is diverse. But we will follow the Constitution, we'll follow the law.
But under the Judicial Council bylaws, the Council is not allowed to reconsider the nominations unless there aren't enough nominees available due to disability, death, withdrawal, or a nominee being appointed to another position. That list doesn't include the governor requesting more nominees. Council Executive Director Suzanne DiPietro explains.
Other situations in which more names are requested are not included in the reasons why the council would reconsider under the bylaw.
In a letter to the council, Dunleavy wrote that, quote, "The slate of candidates put forward could be expanded to reflect the balance and diversity in philosophy and Alaskan experience requisite to adequately make a fair choice for the people of Alaska." Dunleavy singled out Kotzebue Superior Court Judge Paul Roatman as an applicant who the council didn't nominate. He noted in the letter that Roatman had the most time as a judge and Alaska resident and was the only applicant from rural Alaska. Roatman is Mexican-American and the only non-white applicant. But in an Alaska Bar Association survey, he was ranked 6th of the 7 applicants. DiPietro said the Judicial Council has been following similar procedures to nominate the most qualified applicants since Alaska became a state.
The process is so thorough, and there is so much information, and the council members are using the same, each one of them is using the same standards.
The bylaws also require the council to make, quote, "every effort to promote diversity, including gender and ethnic diversity." Currently, Justice Susan Carney is the only woman on the Supreme Court. The 3 nominees from the council are all women. This is the second time in 2 years that Dunleavy has asked for different nominees for a vacant judgeship. In 2019, he failed to appoint a nominee for a Palmer Superior Court vacancy within 45 days and asked for different nominees. Then-Chief Justice Bolger issued a statement saying the governor's office didn't seem to understand that the Alaska Constitution requires that the governor appoint one of the council's nominees. After meeting with Bolger, Dunleavy later appointed one of the original nominees, Kristen Stoller, to the Palmer seat. Dunleavy's failure to fill the Palmer vacancy within the legal time frame became one of the grounds of the ongoing recall campaign against him. DiPietro said Thursday that the council will be responding to the governor's letter, but it was too soon to say how it would respond. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
In other news, a bear swatted and injured a visitor at Katmai National Park on Wednesday afternoon. Park officials announced the bear encounter in a statement today. They say it's the first time since 2018 that a bear physically contacted a visitor at the famous bear viewing park on the Alaska Peninsula. According to Katmai Park officials, the visitor was part of a small group out boating this week. It was just him, another visitor, and a guide. They stopped on an island in a remote part of the park to sightsee and eat. Meanwhile, a bear swam across the river to the island. It was acting aggressively, according to park officials. The group of three tried to haze the bear by yelling and making themselves look larger, but the bear was not scared off. It swatted one of the visitors and knocked him backward into the river. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to KTOO.org. This is KTOO News.